That was Genesis with Misunderstanding. And you're listening to The Blend on 90.7 WKGC Panama City. I'm your host, Karen. And as earlier I teased, we've got a special guest live in the studio, Mr. Mike Bolin. You might know him better as the creator of Mike's Weather Page. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Hey, I'm happy to be here. I love Panama City Beach. It's kind of my new home away from home.
We love to hear that. We love to have you here. So I just want to, I got a few questions for you. So what got you into weather in the first place?
I'm a native Floridian, which is rare my age. But we had a busy 2004 hurricane season. And I was going to school at USF for marketing and taking a website class. And it just made sense, you know, to make a project of putting together spaghetti models. And, you know, we had Hurricane Charlie coming to Tampa Bay, and I was, you know, looking for information. And at the time, we really didn't have Google back then. It was hard to find stuff. So I'm like, I'm going to make a website. And I called it Mike's Weather Page. You know, using my marketing skills, I always joke, you know, nothing creative about that. It was just a website for me and a place for me to go and look at graphics and shared it with friends and family, and never dreamed it would ever get out, you know. And every year, just got a little big, you know, bigger, and then social media came around in 08, 09, and that really magnified, you know, what I do and the presence on the web. So, I never dreamed a million years, 21 years later, I'd be doing weather. I mean, had marketing, my brain was focused on that my whole career, you know, life growing up. And here I am, you know, loving my summer job. Like Jimmy Buffett says, I love weather.
That's awesome. So a little bird had told me that originally you had a website called SpaghettiModels.com. Is that true?
Yeah, that's what I named it, because at the time, you know, when we have a storm, everybody sees spaghetti models. And I love spaghetti models. Like every one of those little noodles, you know, is a different path. And that's what I was looking for back in 2004. And I found it one day, and the next day I didn't. And I'm like, oh, where did it go? So that was the whole theory of website, basically, of tropical models. And spaghetti models is what that was the domain I picked. And luckily, Google self-corrects you now, because spaghetti is not the most easily typed word in the dictionary. So for years I'd misspell spaghetti models, and luckily Google fixes it for me. So Mike's Weather Page is easier to remember. That'll also work.
Definitely. Yes. And I've been a follower. I'm super excited to have you here on the show, by the way.
Thank you.
So what tools or sources do you use to stay updated?
Well, there's a lot of models, a lot of different computer models, just endless models out there. And you pretty much use a blend of them over, you know, doing tropics and tracking the tropics. You look at things called ensembles, which are different blends of the GFS and Euro. And in the last few years, we've had higher resolution models, which have been very accurate. So for me, it's basically a blend of models, and a little bit of common sense goes a long way. Like understanding weather, like the weather pattern we're having currently, we had this morning, mm-hmm. It was pretty rocked everybody. We got another one coming tomorrow. We're going to get these waves of, you know, rains and you kind of recognize weather patterns, and that's what I do with the tropics. You know, high pressures, low pressures, history. We look at history a lot, past events, where we're at currently with something called El Nino, La Nina, and you know, it's a blend. It's a blend of history, current atmosphere, and you just kind of guess at after all that. And you know, I mean, even the best get it wrong. You know,
of course.
I think for me, it's just putting all the possibilities out there. You know, Michael obviously was a very impactful storm here in the area. And I think a lot of folks found my Twitter page during Michael 18.
Yes.
And there was models. There was nothing, you know, I wasn't any psychic, but there was a lot of model support. And the way that I had messaged was, hey, this is what I see. This is what they're showing. It was totally against the official forecast at the time. But I'm like, man, if I lived in that area, I'd be really paying attention. And it, so, you know, there's nothing really scientific that I do any different than anybody else. I think it comes down to the way you message and having some consistency where people then end up trusting, hopefully. That's the bottom line. You got to trust who your sources are. And, everybody's got a little style. Everybody's a little different. I got haters out there like everybody else.
Hey, we all do, you know.
And hello if you're listening.
So how do you keep people informed without causing panic?
That's hard. I've toned back a lot of the way that I approach my messaging. I've learned you can or I can sound almost, you know, enthusiastic about a storm, not meaning about it, because I do get excited to the point where, oh, my God, there's a storm out there. But sometimes people read that as, you know, oh, you want hurricanes, you know, and emotionally that really upsets folks, you know. So yeah. I really watch the adjectives. I've tried over the years to stay away from adjectives because, to me, that drives an agenda. I mean, we know they're all devastating, catastrophic. So I think for me, it's trying to be as neutral as possible and remember that, you know, your words matter and, you know, you some folks are affected differently. So I guess I've been more cautious, you know, just to make every word, you know, you know, I really self-read and proofread a lot before I hit that send button anymore.
That's important news.
Yeah.
We all got to do that. Otherwise autocorrect might take over and who knows what you're going to tell the public.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And then you get in, you know, social media jail because you didn't even mean it, you know.
Oopsies. I mean,
but, yeah, it's a tough world, you know, and there's a lot of folks out there doing this now, what I do. And, you know, I'm TikTok. I love TikTok. There's a million weather folks on TikTok now. And there's a lot of people that have learned that worst case scenario mm-hmm. gets a lot of clicks and a lot of likes.
Yes.
And then people are drawn to that because, A, the algorithm picks it up and they're like, oh, nobody cares about the fact there's no storms. They want to go to this guy who's showing the Cat 5 hitting, you know, next weekend, even though it's one model run. But, you know, people end up, you know, craving that sometimes. And then these new social media weather folks, kind of like what I'm doing, feed on that. So, you know, there's a lot of clicks for likes out there. And I was guilty at the beginning too. You know, I mean, sharing that one run of the worst case will get you a lot of likes and a lot of clicks. And that's the world we live in now, is who you're going to trust. And that's why it's really important to be that consistent voice. And when there is hype out there, hopefully they come to my page to get what I think, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's tough. It, you know, and then bottom line, I always tell people, hey, listen, number one, always go to your local meteorologist and National Weather Service. That's A, number one. And if you're ever confused, I always tell everybody, have that local meteorologist you trust. They're going to get you through it. You know, this time when things are slow, that's when, you know, you kind of make that decision in your mind. Who do I like? You know, who's that guy or girl on TV that I can relate to?
Mm-hmm.
And then when it comes time to, you know, you need information, that's who you'll gravitate to. And of course, National Weather Service is really good, you know. So that's my advice to everybody, you know, find somebody you trust and then they'll be there for you when you need them.
For sure. So you said you've been doing this for quite some time. Would you be able to say what's the craziest storm that you've tracked so far? Can you name just one, or is it kind of hard to do?
Well, one thing I've learned in part of the messaging is every storm is different. I've been in Cat 1s last season. We had a storm called Beryl, was a Cat 1 in Texas, and I think it had just as much power and impacts as a Cat 4. I mean, and that was unbelievable to me, was the winds and the damage from a Cat 1, the surge. Every storm's different. We had, for me personally, I think my most scariest moment was storm chasing Hurricane Ian
mm-hmm.
Down in South Florida, because it was a never ending eyewall, it seemed like. And it just sat there and the winds never, it seemed like it got stronger. But the water started coming up, and that's kind of what panicked me a little bit, because we had no escape. We're trying to drive. Every road we went on was starting to flood. And, we at night were using a spotlight to see the line on a road, because it was water to water, tree line to tree line, and we really had no idea where we were, you know. And it's just that fear of unknown, the quiet, service was out, no lights on. It was a really eerie feeling, you know. I blew my truck up at that moment and was stranded in the middle of the road, water's rising, and that helplessness, you know. That was for me my craziest moment, seeing just an all day. You know, and locals told me then they'll never ride out a storm again. And I tell people, like, if you're not prepared for 10 hours of an eyewall and feeling helpless, and, you know, a lot of folks tell me they wish they would have evacuated. So I've turned into a Debbie Downer when it comes to evacuating. I'm that guy that's going to be like, hey, if you're in an A, or if you're in a B, you know, zone, get out.
Yeah.
You know, it's not fun. And
definitely not. I'm one of those that another one comes and I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm not hanging out and waiting to see what happens because things can change just so fast. Like Michael went from a 3 to a 5 overnight. So.
Yes, and we have, you know, a lot of Gulf storms are the ones we have to watch. I mean, that rapid intensification and it's just, you know, living, you know, I think what I do is very valuable because we go over all the scenarios and you have to stay weather aware. Things change, like you mentioned. You know, and there's people that, during Michael told me the initial forecast was pretty as a tropical storm, they just went on about their normal lives. Because not everybody's in tune to the weather 24/7. And, mm-hmm. and next thing you know, it might be 2 days later, and you're like, oh, my God, you know, what happened? Like, I was, you know, didn't expect that.
Yeah.
And that's what happened with Ian. It turned 2 days earlier. All the locals down there were like, oh, I thought this was hitting Friday. It's hitting Wednesday now. And it was too late to evacuate. So that's the biggest thing I tell Floridians, you know, don't be stubborn. You know, hit that reset button every hurricane season because every storm's different. Just because this storm turned, the next one might not, you know, so... We just have to always be ready.
Exactly.
And, you know, the one thing that irked me more than ever last year was, you know, you get these comments of people like, you know, that's what you get for living in Florida. You know, and I'm a Floridian. And I'm like, listen, there's disasters everywhere in the country.
Exactly.
I mean, Helene went up to the mountains. You know, we have massive tornadoes and earthquakes. I mean, it doesn't matter where you live.
Yeah, we wildfires in California.
Wildfires. Yeah, they happened in Gatlinburg a few years ago. So,
yeah.
You're not safe. At least with hurricanes, you know they're coming.
Exactly.
I mean, it's the only storm really that you know is coming and you have time to prepare, you know.
So there is a silver lining.
Yeah, it's a good, yeah. I mean, you can always, you know, people like hurricane parties too. You know, there's always a positive side to a storm.
Hey, I mean, that's one way to look at it. So do you ever feel pressure knowing that so many people, I mean, you've got, when I looked at your page, 2.3 million followers. Do you ever feel pressured knowing that so many people rely on you?
Yeah, I try not to think about it. But yes, it is very, it's changed me a little bit too. You know, like I went back to the messaging, just realizing that what you say is being read by a lot of people. And,
mm-hmm.
But I can't lose, you know, what got me to where I'm at too. And sometimes like last couple of years, I found myself toning back a little bit on maybe long range looking because I knew it was maybe too soon, but then other people were doing it anyways. And so I try not to change my style, but I have to still be careful because people get confused sometimes. So I, you know, just throwing out a bunch of spaghetti models without context probably isn't any good anymore because most people will be like, what does that mean? You know? So again, I got to work. Yeah, I worked harder on the messaging and, constantly remind people to always refer back to Natural Hurricane Center if it's too confusing, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I share my life, my family, and I don't know, I just enjoy that part of it. You know, I think part of that trust, and I see a lot more meteorologists doing that, sharing their family side, fun side, and I always have. I just like doing it, but I think that's part of the whole package is relatability, you know.
Definitely.
Like we're at the Gulf Coast Jam this weekend, and it's so awesome the amount of locals that come up to us and want to hang out, you know. I mean, I got so many over the years that even recognize my wife and my daughters and my dogs, and that wouldn't have happened without social media, you know.
Yeah, it's a big thing.
And sometimes it frustrates me because I'll get more likes and clicks on a goofy picture wearing, you know, balloon hats last night at Margaritaville than I will a weather post. And I'm like, wait a minute, you know, I'm a weather guy and I love my weather, but this post got 10,000 likes and my weather post got 50.
And it's weird how it works.
Yeah. So people get on my, sometimes they're like, stick to weather. I'm like, well, people actually want more than weather. You know, they enjoy that side.
They like to see the silly side that you're still human, you
know?
Well,
yeah. Well, I mean, it's, you know, it's my personal page. It's Mike's. It's my personal page I just put out there to millions.
That's
crazy.
And, you know, you mentioned your family. What does your family think of all of this?
My oldest 19-year-old, she secretly is become a fan. She reads the comments. I think she protects dad a lot. I've seen her go after people. I'm like, give me, come on, delete that. You know, my youngest has got down, Sarah. Everybody knows Sarah. She's my biggest fan because she tells everybody when we're out with public, you know, like, oh, my dad's a weatherman, you know. They listen at school, which is really neat. So the teachers will know what's going on in our life through Facebook or whatever, you know, and they'll be like, oh, we saw Sarah, you know, got your nails done. And then my wife, she just kind of like, you know, she deals with me. Like, the storm chasing, she didn't like it. You know, she'd rather watch General Hospital. I'll call and say, maybe I was just in the middle of a tornado. I'm like, did you see that? And then she's watching General Hospital. Like, you know. So she didn't watch. But, you know, she's tolerant, and she's helping out a lot more now that she worked at Publix her whole life, and now she's helping like with merch. We have a lot of fans that we send stuff to at the end of the year, and she helps with all that. And so yeah, it's kind of a family thing. You know, I'd love my daughter to get involved with it more somehow, you know, after college. So we'll see if she becomes social media side a little bit. She kind of wants to, I think.
Do you ever bring any of them with you to actually chase the storms?
No. They're a little worried. I've had two friends with me go out, and both of them, I think they realize I don't hype. Like, you know, they first thing they called home and talked to their wives is like, that was really bad. Like, you know, holy, you know, crap. Like, it was, you know, he's not joking. Like, this is serious, you know. Because I get amped up in the moment, and I'm out there, and like my buddy Phil, I'm wanting to, like, there's water and surge over here, and I'm like, let's go right. And he grabs the wheel and turns left. They're like, no, we're going home. Like, you know, stop. I'm ready to go home. So yeah, the girls, yeah, no, nobody else's family wise have been with me yet. Maybe the dogs one day.
Hey, you know, is it just, do you not want to bring them for fear of safety, or do they just not want to go? Is, you know,
I 36 hours in a car, you know, I mean, I just, you know, I don't think they would enjoy it at all.
But, yeah, I'm an adrenaline junkie.
Yeah.
You know, I'd be like all in it. If my dad did something like that, I'd be right there. I'd be princess.
Yeah.
What do you call that? Passenger princess.
Well, we'll see what this year brings. You know, I only started doing this chasing thing in 20. So it's, I guess 5 years into it now. But I probably get a lot of people mad at me too, honestly, bringing my family involved.
Yeah,
you know?
I can see that.
I usually send them out of town. We evacuated 3 times now in the last couple of years. And, I send them out of town because I'm like, I can't be home to protect anybody if something were to happen. So they make a little family vacation out of it and hit the shops and spend a lot of money.
And speaking of, how do you personally prepare for a hurricane?
The only thing I ever worry about is the water. You know, I'm not even that big about boarding up as much as I used to be because it seems like the, you know, where we live in Oldsmar, Tampa Bay, we have surge issues that we could possibly deal with. And when you see those water marker signs a mile from your house,
yeah,
you know, 8 feet high, you're like, well, that's serious. And,
yeah.
You know, one thing about storm surge, you just don't know exactly who's going to get the worst part. It all comes down to a wiggle and a wobble of a storm. And, you know, 5-mile wobble to the north, we could get 6 more foot of surge, you know, but when you get a surge warning from the National Hurricane Center, they have to deal with all those possibilities just in case that storm turns a little to your north or your south, you know, but you don't really know who's going to get that worst impact. And that's why it's, you know, important to evacuate in A and B because, you know, I get a lot of people that are frustrated because they, you know, they evacuate and they didn't get anything. And they're like, well, yeah, we were under storm surge warning. We didn't get anything. Well, the storm went a little near south. And the way a storm rotates, now the water's kind of going the opposite direction.
Mm-hmm.
And then Helene, for us, we had a lot of folks that stayed behind because Irma turned the last second. Charlie turned the last second. Ian turned the last second. Tampa Bay was always supposed to get 6 to 8 foot of surge, 10 foot of surge. In those people's minds, and this comes down to messaging, they think, oh, we were under storm surge warning for those storms, and we got nothing. But they really didn't understand, and they're not supposed to understand. You know, most people just say, hey, we're under storm surge warning, but we didn't get anything. Well, then Helene came, and they had the same storm surge estimates, but we got it that time.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, my God. Like, they stayed, and they had 3 foot of water in their homes, you know, because in the past, they didn't. So that's where I just – send my family out because, you know, there's always that what if situation.
Exactly. You can replace material things.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know?
Water. Well, 90% of all hurricane fatalities is water,
mm-hmm.
and half are inland. Like, it's not just a coastal event; it's the flooding inland from rainwater, and that's becoming more and more of an issue. Is the inland effects that, you know, obviously when a hurricane hits, it's bad, no doubt. I mean, Michael. Obviously. But north of here, you know, I was driving home from Talladega. We go to NASCAR every year, and we went to a little town called Athens, Georgia. You know, you wouldn't think about it, and it was completely destroyed, and all the pecan farms and cotton, you know, and we learned with Helene last year, the flooding all the way to the Carolinas. So these inland flooding is just as bad as surge on the coast. But again, you know, you run from the water, hide from the wind. The wind usually isn't deadly as much as water. water's the big thing you got to worry about.
So last but certainly not least, what's next for Mike's weather page?
Nothing. More storm chasing. I love talking weather. I do a little morning show, and people are like, why are you doing weather on your vacation? It's like, it's my hobby. You know, I just love that. So I don't really think there's anything, you know, other than just more road trips, going more places and doing my reporting mobily. Now mm-hmm. that we have Starlink and different ways for internet, like, thank goodness we had Starlink in Talladega last year because Milton was coming. And anybody knows anything about big events, when you get a lot of people, the coverage is zippo.
Yes.
And I couldn't afford to ever leave home of fear of not having internet. And mm-hmm. now that we have Starlink, I'll be able to remotely go more. And I love mingling with people. Like, all these different areas that I go to that have been impacted with storms turn out to be friends and family now, you know. And it's cool to go to these little towns and people, you know, recognize you, and, you know, it's like family. So I more of a world tour, maybe, you know, more like, or a national tour. And I'd love to go to, like, Belize and Bermuda and all these countries. So I guess, again, that for me personally is hitting these little spots that I've been covering for years, the Caribbean, mm-hmm. Barbados. You know, half the time I didn't even know these. I was so bad with geography when I started this mess. I used to tape a Caribbean map on my computer screen because I didn't know all these little countries that I was talking about. I'm like, where's Puerto Rico at? You know, now I know. I mean, we were talking about the Azores, you know, which is little islands way up in the northeast part of the Atlantic. And I was talking about a storm one day, and people were in my chat that were in the Azores, and I didn't believe them. So I clicked on their profile, and lo and behold, they live in the Azores, you know. So, you know, it's crazy when people chime in from these other countries. So
do people ever chime in and you know, tell you heartwarming stories, you know, things that have happened to them because of following your instructions?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've had a lot of folks do that. And it's, I guess that's the power, the drive that really know that it matters to some. You know, we all get wrapped up in Facebook and X and comments, and that's such a small, you know, part of who's really listening. You mm-hmm. know, and I found most of my followers don't comment, and they're the ones that listen. So when I have people come up and say, thank you, I got my grandfather to evacuate from back then it was Sanibel Island, Fort Myers Beach. And I had this lady run up and give me a hug, and she told me that, you know, her grandfather wasn't going to evacuate. And because of what I was showing, you know, she was able to convince him to evacuate. And then his house was completely destroyed. So there's been a lot of that. You know, I think I do a lot of work with FDM, and they do meteorology summits and stuff. And it really, again, it comes down to that messaging. And you know, at the end, you make your own decisions on what you want to do, evacuate. But I think me storm chasing a little bit more and doing this for so many years, I can at least give people some sanity on a storm, you know, and they make the ultimate decision.
You're giving them the information. Yeah. They can do with it whatever they please.
Yeah, and I think how you present it to them matters.
Yes.
And a lot of folks, just like with Michael back then, I mean, I hate bringing that up, but a lot of people listened to what I showed, you know, and it wasn't at the time there was a lot of, you know, you're fear mongering. People were thinking I was, you know, hyping local Mets but you know, the models don't lie usually. And people need to be able to see that kind of stuff. And, you know, same with the surge. I was talking about our surge at home way more, I think, than most what you're hearing on the news, and got a lot of people to prepare. And I had a lot of people come up and say, you know, if it wasn't for you, we wouldn't have been ready. You know, and a lot of that goes with even evacuating, because, you know, evacuating, sometimes trying to find a hotel, you hit the roads too late, the gas stations are full. So a lot of what I do too is people can make that decision earlier mm-hmm. and say, well, you know what, there's a good chance I'm out of here, you know. And Florida has a slogan that's called halfway full, halfway there. And people learn, you know, it's hurricane season, always have at least half a tank of gas, because when you need gas, it's too late. Like,
yes.
Either they're out of gas or the line's a mile long, you know. And then you get into panicking. That's why this whole have a plan, you know. Again, I was the Debbie Downer, like, you don't need all that stuff. And now I realize the importance of a plan and have that in your mind, you know, like, okay, what if we have to evacuate? Like, what do we do with the dogs? You know, I mean, some shelters don't take dogs. You know, exactly. What do you, you got dog medicine. You have enough dog medicine. You know, like we give our little hunter some liquid medicine, and the other day it barely had enough left. But if you had to evacuate, you need to have that prepared ahead of time,
mm-hmm.
because you're going to be gone 7 days or whatever, you know. Having gas for your generators and all that, just having a plan makes sense. I mean, it sounds silly until it's too late. And I've talked to a lot of people that when they had to make that decision to evacuate, it was like, oh, what do we do? You know, now then you're panicking because it's happening, and you're like, I don't even know where to go. Where do I go? You know, so, yeah, it makes a lot of sense to have a plan.
I think it's because a lot of people in the time that I've lived here, we get complacent, you know. We
right.
see all these storms and, oh, it's a Category 3. It'll be fine, you know. Even with Michael,
mm-hmm.
I'm guilty of it. I was sharing little memes of like a lawn chair laying on its
yeah.
side, you know, survived Hurricane Michael. And then,
yeah.
bam, you know, overnight, it was a 5. And so it's, people get, they do, they get complacent thinking that it's just going to be like the last one.
Right.
I'll be fine. But
totally. No, I guess that goes back to my messaging of don't be stubborn and hit that reset button.
Because mm-hmm.
just because that storm turned last time doesn't mean it's going to turn this time.
Exactly.
And, you know, Charlie was a teeny weeny little storm down in Fort Myers in 04, and it took the exact path of Ian. And a lot of the talking points was Charlie, Ian. Well, I did okay with Charlie. We'll be all right. And Ian was 4 times the size. It didn't move hardly at all. It was, you know, the impacts were 10 times as worse almost. Same category. Both were Category 4s, but totally different animals, you know. And again, you know, every category is so different. That's another thing. I just, you know, I've seen tropical storms, you know, do billions of dollars in flooding damage. You know, you can have a slow-moving tropical system that parks on top of you, and that flooding could be 10 times worse than a wind event, you know. So every storm's different. That's why it's just so important to just hit that reset button every season, you know, and realize that, you know, it could be you. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. That's the truth. Mother Nature always figures out a way to hit those spots. I mean, I met people in the Big Bend area of Florida that told me 3 different couples moved there because looking at a map, that was the least hit part of Florida. And up to Idalia, it was. And then, bam, they got hit with 3 hurricanes since then and a tornado. So, you know, it's crazy. There's what, you know, people think we're protected by Indian mounds where we live. There's a old urban tale, you know, Indian mounds protecting Tampa, but then we found out, you know, that wasn't the case either. So it's like
storms definitely don't discriminate.
No. And they're, you know, unfortunately with us in the Gulf, you know, the water is a big deal. It's hot, and we just have to be ready. You know, just never know. We might have a little something coming. You hear it first. Not the following week, but the week after. Second week of June, might be talking tropics on a little system heading up this way.
And where is it that people can keep up with you?
Just anything, Mike's weather page. All of TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, X, YouTube. I hit them all.
Awesome.
So.
Well, thank you so much, Mike, for joining me here today on The Blend.
You.
It has been a pleasure. We're going to get back into the music. And when we come back, I'll have our local weather forecast.
All right, this is Mike from Mike's Weather Page, and you're listening to 90.7 WKGC Public Media.